Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again. With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened. Welcome back. It is the final hour of In This League. Bogman and Wells, we're back for you. Tons going on across this week. So much you can lock into. We have done a bunch of cool stuff over on the Fantasy Black Book. Bogman, myself, Joe Pizzapia, Ian Kahn, Eric Cross for some prospect stuff coming up. I just had Jim Callis on over at Prospect One if you're into that. Plus, the baseball shows are full go. We have got a mock draft dropping on Monday. It's mock draft 2.0, a 12-team standard where Bogman and I, we did it live. We curse. We get all crazy. Our mock drafts, I can promise you, are unlike any other mock draft that the industry does. Plus, we've been doing it for over 5 years, so it's our special little treat we do. And then the following week, we are going to 2 episodes a week. So baseball, full throws here. And 2 Mondays from now, we desperately ask you to be on the lookout on Amazon to support our book, The 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, which tentatively is set for February 4th with some of the best people around the industry playing judge. We do it in boxing style formats. We take one player versus another player. We each take a side. Bogman and I write them up. And then we have guys around the industry like Eno Saris, Paul Spohr, Jason Collette, Joe Pizzapia. Tons more judges than we've had in the past, and 3 judges per match judge it out. 99 of them. We reviewed the last year's book. It's not a guide, but I think it is one of the coolest fantasy baseball tools that you could have. I'm biased because we wrote it, and we would absolutely love your support by picking up the PDF at inthisleague.com or looking for it on Amazon to help out your fantasy baseball season. Because we got them covered for the most
part. Yeah, you're done with all your stuff, right?
Totally. I am totally not 25 debates behind you.
My favorite thing was yesterday you said, hey, you're going to finish all my write-ups for me, aren't you? And then I said unrealistic expectations for when I would do that.
I can't
repeat them here, but and you were like, well, guess I better get back to writing.
You know, the problem, it's not that I don't enjoy the writing. It's twofold. More than ever, I'm really locked into the storytelling of the player in the debate, finding the right way to tell it. But also, it's just so long. Like, am I the only person, by the way? Is FanGraphs slower than it's ever been?
No.
Is it just me?
Not for me.
Whatever computer I'm on, it's taking forever to just load the pages. It freezes. Huh. Maybe it's all my broken technology. I mean, they're the best, by the way. We love everything that they do. They're the number one site to me to go through on all that stuff.
But I haven't noticed that.
Oh, so. It's been killing me. It's been absolutely killing me. But regardless of it, our top 300 is going to be in there. We wrote up some from the last book that were really interesting. We're going to have the 99 debates. It's going to be like under $10 for the ebook. There might be a physical book. Just support us. Just get out there and let's blow it out of the water. Force our hand to keep doing this. It's in your hand to force a football version of this. Which, oh
yes.
God. I mean, like, I don't want it to happen, but if you force it to happen, it's not a bad situation. You know what I mean?
That would be great.
It would be really, really great.
That would be great, but I mean, Well, how about we get your odds on that happening? What would you put that on right now? Is it better or worse than The Rock showing up and winning the Royal Rumble?
I got a better one for you. What is more likely? Our hand being pushed that we have to do a football version because so many people buy it, or that there is going to be a Big Lebowski 2. Because
there's going to be a Big Lebowski 2?
You obviously didn't see it. A couple days ago on the Twitters, there was a short 11-second video that was released. It shows somebody walking. It scrolls up. I'm watching it right now. You should got to find it. Just type in the dude, Bogman. It scrolls up. He's wearing the sweater. Jeff Bridges turns around with white hair in the glasses. He looks at the camera, smiles, walks away. It shows a street with a tumbleweed, and it says February 3rd. That's all that it says.
Is that the Super Bowl?
That is the Super Bowl. So here's the deal.
You know what this is? Another Australia commercial. It is 150,000% Australia commercial.
And that is the immediate response of the entire internet. Nobody's fallen for it. Every human being here is saying, this is bull crap. This isn't going to happen. All this is going to be is a commercial. And I think that's 90%. But there's two rumors floating around besides the obvious stupid ass commercial that this is going to be. One, they actually do a Big Lebowski 2. So again, I ask you, what's more likely, Big Lebowski 2 or our book being sold so much that we have to do it again?
Our book. Okay. Big Lebowski 2 is not happening.
Here's the third one. Here's the third rumor that they're actually going to do a The Jesus movie. And he'll play a small role in it. Nobody, you know, with the Jesus.
Yeah.
With John Turturro, that he could be having a spinoff movie. And then maybe somehow John Candy or not John Candy.
John Candy. Yeah. I would say our book selling is way better than John Candy being in the next movie.
I can't think of his name.
Who are you talking about?
The other guy.
Steve Buscemi? John Goodman?
Bogman, I was absolutely talking about Steve Buscemi when I said John Candy. Yes, John Goodman.
Well, I was thinking of other people in the movie.
Goodman. I mean, he got himself under control.
Those boys in Vietnam. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they play a role in it.
Not everything is related to Nam, all right? Relax.
What's Buscemi's name in the movie?
I can't
remember. He's like, shut up. I can't remember his name either. I haven't watched that movie in a long time. Tara Reid, maybe she shows back up. We're not going to see Philip Seymour Hoffman, but.
Yeah, this is about as likely as John Candy showing back up.
I mean, sad.
Have you seen Tara Reid lately? Do you think you would pay her to do the things she said in that movie
at this point? At this point, I mean, I'd pay less.
I mean, I definitely would have.
I'd still pay, but it'd be less. A lot less. Right?
I'd have to get a 35% discount because she's over 35.
I mean, things got to be a little bit of a mess. So there's a lot of opportunities.
Something pepperoni.
Pepperoni. Right. That's exactly right. So I can't believe you hadn't seen that because the internet was freaking out. But that's the problem, though. Is I think these people all think.
Would you really want to see a Big Lebowski remake? Like, shouldn't some things just be left alone?
That's what I saw in our in our GroupMe rooms we have over at patreon.com/ITL Army. There were a couple people that were dropping and saying, you know what? I don't want this. The last thing I want, because, and this is earlier, you were bringing up Bad Santa. Bad Santa 2 was horrible. I mean, the only redeeming factor of that movie was the moments with Christina Hendricks and him doing horrible things. That's it. Otherwise, that movie is pure garbage. And it made me think of this going on with the dude because a lot of people really don't think there's any way you could justifiably make a second Big Lebowski. I mean, they'll make it, but the story is just going to be garbage.
Does it really matter? Like, anytime they wait too long to make a sequel, the sequel is just not as good. And to be honest, it could be better. It could be completely better, but it wouldn't matter because everyone is just such a hipster, and they're all going to say that it's never as good as the beginning. And look, most of them aren't, so I'll give that up.
That movie's just so odd and weird. Like, if you told me you got a decent comedy writer, and then like one of the guys that did the guy that did True Detective, and those guys got together and got
season
stoned.
One or season two?
Season one. You get Joe Not Rogan and the guy that did season one of True Detective. Like those, that would be weird enough to make Big Lebowski 2 work. But what they're going to do is it'll be some story. The dude is old. He's still around. He probably is going to find some illegitimate daughter. It'll be like the chick dude. And it'll be like him trying to be a parent or a father. And like that'll be the storyline. And it'll be garbage. It'll be the dude being a father and being told he needs to grow up this time. And it's like, please don't make that movie. Please.
Is Julianne Moore coming back?
Oh, God, she probably would, right?
I would think so.
All these people would come
Julianne
back.
Julianne Moore might be above stuff like that, though. I don't know.
Now, what was that movie that she was dressed as a clown and she got, you remember?
That was the ladies man movie.
That was the ladies man. She's not above that. She got, she
come on, Leon. You know what Bloopy likes.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell me she's above anything when she was a clown doing it down with Leon Phelps.
That's so funny. I forgot about that. That is so funny.
It's an everlasting image of mine of Julianne Moore. So, I mean, you put a poll out there, 80% don't want this movie.
Yeah, no. And it's not going to happen because it's definitely an Australia
It's going to be an embarrassing commercial. You know what it's going to be, too? I'm going to say it right now. I'll bet you it's Pepsi. And it is
like they got
so
everybody last year. Like Australia got everybody last year.
And they think they're being slick again. They think they're doing that. Oh, everyone's going to talk about the dude, Big Lebowski. And then we're going to get him with a Pepsi commercial. It's going to be Pepsi. And you know what? I hope everyone goes out and burns Pepsi. But well, don't do that. It's bad for the environment.
Jesus.
Dump it out. No, it's offensive because they think they're slick. They think they're getting us. We all know what's up. It's going to be a garbage commercial. It's going to be like, you know, Apple.
Did you see our guy Dusty the other day put up a Devour? Devour is a frozen food company. Like they have the frozen dinners. They're like Hungry Man, you know, but it's and they made a food porn commercial that has been banned for the Super Bowl. Did you see that?
No, really?
Yeah, it was like it was everything you would expect for an actual porn addict, but it was for food porn. Like, you know, there was dried up napkins underneath the bed. Uh-huh. Like she comes in the room and he closes the computer real quick, but you see it's like a chicken fried steak being cut in half, you know, and he's just
what's
like,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Also, what's inappropriate about that?
It's too close to being actual porn addiction, so they opted to not say it's no good. So
well, I mean, you know, we should know. Arizona, what they tried to do? They tried to fund the wall by taxing porn. $20, Bogman. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to lock computers. I think it was all new computers. And then you had to pay a $20 fee to unlock your computer to do what you want on the internet.
I've never been into VPNs, and I know that's what people say. What is this,
China?
For Arizona, like Arizona, people need to get VPNs to play DFS and stuff like that and all that nonsense. I would 100% be a VPN guy.
No, but you couldn't have, like, your computer, like, it would have been locked. They were going to, like, porn lock computers that you'd have to. It's not, I mean, I don't even know what they're contacting.
You want to know
Korea
the easiest $20 I'd ever spend in my entire life?
It would be that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
If they're like, we want you to let us break your TV and we'll unlock this, you'll be like, here's the hammer.
Yeah. You guys, what do you guys want? I got all kinds of stuff here for you to break this.
By the way, would you give up? You have to. This is would you rather? This is a player debate. Give up your television with your DirecTV and the NFL and MLB package, or give up your computer with the internet.
Oh.
I know. So you get, but now remember, you could do the thing where you could try to figure out and find games and stuff online on your computer. But your
It would be give up DirecTV.
Okay, no HD games, no DVR, no television.
You can get an HD commercial. You get an HD screen.
I know.
So.
Well, I'm just saying you don't have the TV and the DirecTV. You only have a computer and internet, or only TV and DirecTV.
Only computer and internet, because I think I could find 95% of the stuff on TV on my computer. So
you're not the stuff you want on the computer on TV.
Can't find on the DirecTV.
No, so. You can pay for it, but it's still not good enough.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. Well, oh God, I'm trying to think of that movie with Natalie Portman and Mickey Rourke are in it.
What?
Oh God, no, it's not Natalie Portman. It's Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley and Mickey Rourke. God, Domino.
Oh my remember God! Domino? Yeah, but. Well, yeah, Keira Knightley wasn't. Was Mickey Rourke in that?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke was the, you know, like they were bounty
the
hunters.
Grandma?
And he was like the main bounty hunter. Oh. Like he was like the teaching bounty hunter, Mickey Rourke was.
Okay, well, was
and
there...
he was watching the you know, TV version of that in a hotel, and he goes, they never show this part of the scene.
Ah.
And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, yes, Mickey Rourke,
the
high five.
The page
like, I
finishing
wanted to
move.
High five him. Yes, yeah, they never showed the
Page's finishing move. Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I totally understand. All right, so I just trying
How
to determine.
Are we still on
the- yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're making big moves over here. We're just still over here talking about all that. So, okay, so where were we before this? Where were we before you with the TV or internet?
I don't know. All I know is that if you're going to your favorite thing in the world is to put me to a decision that I couldn't make, and I hate.
Well, because people heard it. I laid out the TV and you're like, oh, the other thing, clearly. And then I was like, wait for it. I'm not a rookie at this game. Everybody thinks they can play this Who'd You Rather game. That's my favorite thing, by the way. People said, like, oh, here's a player debate. And I'm like, let me tell you something. This is not how you player debate it. I know exactly what you're trying to do here. How you do it is you make it the toughest decision on the planet. And I know Bogman and I know the two toughest decisions. You know, ease and comfort of your show. Bogman will pay all the money for DirecTV and every single channel, even if he's broke for the entire month. But put him against the internet, and
what am I going to do? Go out and do things? I don't think so. I'm going to watch TV. Like I said,
what are you gonna do?
You don't get this body with. I mean, look, I watched all the Game of Thrones on that TV. Welsh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm still upset about this TV. It's in my room here. I'm very upset.
Take a picture of it and have a.
Well, it's behind a bunch of crap. So I got a bunch of stuff moved around in my apartment right now. So
all right, well, you're starting it up. Just you got the internet box. That's all you need. All right. When we come back, I want to talk about a trader. This isn't like Johnny Damon going to the Yankees type of trader or anything that really that anybody cares about. But this stinky trader is going to the Dodgers. And what is finally starting to move the line of free agency? We still don't have the two big dogs, but we're starting to get a flow of guys. There are some new rumors, too, by the way, with Manny Machado that I want to talk about. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We're going to talk about the new dirty cheater. We're going to talk about the team that is now looking as a potential front runner for Manny Machado and a whole bunch more. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bogman, I had a topic for you. I just saw this scroll past the wire here. Let me find it.
Yeah, this isn't scripted.
Nope. NFL.
This isn't just like wrestling.
This match is not predetermined. NFL's first male cheerleaders to make Super Bowl debut in Atlanta.
I mean, can we talk about anything else? Can we skip that one? Can we just not have an opinion? Is that okay?
It's quite a run. We're going to go to Royal Rumble and have a great time. And then next weekend, we're going to see a couple male cheerleaders just rock it on the sidelines. I couldn't be more excited.
All right.
Let's go, right?
Sure.
This is infuriating. Not that. This.
Jeez, hate monger.
I don't care about that. Like I said, go out there. If I could dance, by the way. AJ Pollock.
Never mind.
AJ, what? What were you saying?
No, AJ Pollock.
No, you want to, let's go back.
AJ Pollock.
All right, you sure?
Yep.
All right. AJ Pollock is a dirty, dirty trader. Leaves the Arizona Diamondback. He went to the Dodgers. So yes,
you know what? It's funny because I got a tweet immediately about this. Like I'm talking like 5 minutes after he signed, and it said, "Now that AJ Pollock has gone to the Dodgers, are you filled with hate for him because he left the Diamondbacks to go to the Dodgers?
You always
or
have hate.
Do you not care because you are always against him as far as fantasy goes and all that stuff?" So, and to be honest, like, here's my thing is I like that the Dodgers signed him because they're only going to get two of those four seasons, you know. Mm-hmm. So the guy is going to be hurt constantly, and he's only going to be more hurt as he gets older, I think, anyway, because he always has some soft tissue issue. You know, it's never like – it's not a chronic thing. Like he had – I mean the broken arm was terrible, and he had a plate – put in his arm for that, but it's he always has a groin injury or a back injury or a core injury, you know, an oblique something. It's always something with him. So whatever, good riddance.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it, but it's the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, problem. I'm not gonna like the first time I see him in that Dodger uniform, I'm gonna be like, oh,
boo him.
Yeah,
dirty boots.
But like, I think that. You know, when he comes to play here, he might already be on the disabled list. So I don't know that I'll care that much.
No, he's not going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely. How many games? How many games would you bet? What does Steamer have him for?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah. I'm going to look it up because Fangraphs works fine for me.
Yeah, it doesn't work so great with me.
For you. No. So well, I want you to take a guess while I'm looking.
Oh, I'm going to say. I'll bet you they have like a well they like to be conservative. I'm going to say $120, and I bet buck you I'm within five.
Okay, so let me just give you his career because he's played since his first year was 2012. He only got a cup of coffee, 31 games.
Yeah.
Then 137, then 75, then 157. That was the year where he hit 20 bombs and stole 39 bases. Then 12. That was the broken arm year. Then 112 and then 113 last year. That's it.
I mean, actually, I'll bet you like 118 then is a projection.
106.
Ooh.
252 average, 16 homers, 13 stolen bases with 56 runs scored and 55 RBI.
I mean, it's interesting. Like our guy Eno was writing an article about how, you know, essentially what they did was they moved on from Puig to bring in AJ Pollock, and they see this as a is an offensive upgrade. I mean, they paid Pollock some money. I mean, they didn't pay him from an annual perspective. I think they kept it down for luxury tax reasons around like $12 million. But they, you know, the life of the contract can go over 60, but it can be as short as a 3 year. The positive for the Diamondbacks, by the way, is that because it was over $50 million, they are getting a compensation pick, which is now the 35th pick in the draft. And just throwing this out here, check out, this is the Diamondbacks top 100 picks in the upcoming 2019 MLB draft. Here's what the Diamondbacks have now. They have the 16th overall pick, which is their first.
Yep.
They have the 26th overall pick, which is compensation for not signing last year's first round pick, Matt McClain. They have the 33rd overall pick, which is in the compensation round for Corbin. The 34th overall pick in Pollock. They have a 56th pick in the second round. The 75th pick, compensation for it's a balance pick. The 78th pick they're getting from St. Louis and the 93rd pick in the third round. They have 8 picks in the top 100 and they have 4 picks in the top 35. That's how you rebuild. That's how you rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to make all of those you got to make all those picks work.
Well, you got to not take Bobby Bortring and you need to also not take Matt McClain's who isn't going to sign. Bobby Borchering, John McClain, Bobby Borchering, and AJ Pollock, those were the two same picks in the same draft. They took them both in the first round. One failed, and one's a stinky Dodger now.
Yeah.
Who do you like more then, Pollock or Puig this year?
Well, I like Pollock better because I've said this a couple times already. Just that Reds outfield, because they've got Kemp, they have Schebler, they have Puig, they have Winker, and Nick Senzel is supposed to play in the outfield as well.
Yeah.
So they got five dudes out there to play three spots. So I'm a little bit worried about, and you know, the Reds have been fairly aggressive. I wouldn't put it past them to sign someone else.
Well, they've been still looking at like Dallas Keuchel.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's more likely they sign a pitcher, but a lot of these teams have it's the, you know, I've described it like this with, I think what the Phillies are going to wind up doing is they got money burning a hole in their pocket. They're like a little kid when their mom gives them some money, and now they can go, they can't leave the store without something. You know what I mean? I feel like that's how the Phillies are. That's how the Phillies are this offseason, and that's how the Reds could possibly be, because that's kind of how they're acting. They're trying to do anything to add some talent to their team.
Well, I mean, I've always been a relative defender of him, and as much as like I'm annoyed as a Dodger, I care less about that stuff. You know, I digress about it. I do think, like, of all places, is the Dodgers is obnoxious. But, you know, and the mock draft, actually, that's going to come out on Monday, we did before this news. And, you know, I think I got a deal on him because he hadn't signed at that moment, and we speculated on there about the Dodgers. And I think you even said, like, well, this is, but at that time you said, this is a plus. He comes up if he's a Dodger, and that's exactly where he is now. He's going to be a Dodger. Jock Peterson probably comes off. I mean, how they're looking is that, like, Bellinger is probably going to play a corner outfield spot, and Pollock is going to play center, and they're going to move off of probably Jock, or there's, you know, rumors about, like, Alex Verdugo getting traded as well.
I think it's a plus for Pollock, versus going to a different team. Like, you know, earlier in the offseason, the Mets were the big team that was in on him, and it seemed like that was getting close to happening. So I think it's a plus for him being in that lineup, especially since, I mean, he's probably going to hit leadoff there, right? Let's see what roster resources.
I was just about to say, what do they have him at? Let's see if I can beat you. Are you already there, Dodgers? I type faster than you.
This one definitely takes longer for me, roster research.
All right, I got it. He is hitting, if it wants to load, don't let Bogman beat me. No, come on, don't let Bogman beat me. Come on, load. Load. All right, I got it.
The team page takes forever
first,
to load.
First.
They got him, yeah. First. So, yeah, right. So,
here's the lineup, by the way. Lead off, Seager hitting two, Turner hitting three, Bellinger four, Muncy five, Lisa Muncy, Chris Taylor at six, Jock Peterson at seven in left field, and Austin Barnes hitting eight. And they have got Bellinger, they're slated him at in right field.
Because they've got Kike Hernandez and Alex Verdugo on the bench.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't think it would happen, because why wouldn't it have happened in the bigger trade? But I know the Reds were kicking the tires on Jock Peterson now. Maybe his cost is a little bit cheaper.
Well, the White Sox, there was a rumored White Sox Jock Peterson move that was going on. Verdugo would be, now another one that's going, that's moving around here, dude, is JT Romuto. That's picking up. That the Padres, which we need to talk about, are in, but the Dodgers are trying to do it as well. And the Dodgers in that move would trade Alex Verdugo, and then you would add JT Romuto to this, which would probably move down, I think, Muncy. I'm guessing you probably have Romuto at five, yeah. Muncy at six, and, you know,
Romuto will probably hit three whenever Justin Turner gets hurt, because he's always hurt.
He's always hurt. There's a lot of hurt guys here, but I mean, AJ
that's
Pollock,
why they need depth. I mean, they do have guys that Seager missed most of last year. Pollock gets hurt. Muncy gets hurt. You know, Jock Peterson hasn't. He's streaky as far as the back.
Bellinger's the only semi-consistent player they would have at that point. But if you look, if you take a healthy Dodgers team, that offense from top to bottom it's a huge RBI opportunity. I mean, Seager and Turner, when healthy, are really good average contact hitters. And then, you know, if you're talking bases loaded, you have Bellinger. If Pollock is out there and he can stay healthy, I think he could rival that. What was it, 2016 season? 14? 15?
Well, he can't do that because he stole 39 bases.
No, but
year.
I think
2015.
I think he could be in a spot of like a, I think a 20-30 isn't outrageous for him.
I don't think he'll steal that many bases again ever.
Why, you think the Dodgers having him in the leadoff spot aren't going to run him?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
I mean,
I'm not saying he's going to have more than 39.
He had 13 last year. He had 20 the year before that. Maybe he could get to 30, but he would have to stay healthy enough to get to 32. So, I mean, he stole 39 in 2015. You know, 2015 was five seasons ago now. You know, 15, 16, 17, 18, and now 19. So, and that was by far his most healthy year at 157 games. He played 137 games in 2013, but since then it's been 12, 112, 113. I mean, he's got to crack at least 135 games to get there. And there's no way I would bet on that.
Don't you hate him more, though? Like, you've always hated him, and then you'll be like, well, he's a Diamondback. I don't hate him.
Now, this is once again, like, people think that, I hated him. I never hated him. I just didn't want anyone drafting him for fantasy because I thought it was he always went too high because of his one really good year. And when we were drafting in 2015, I think I was fairly in on him. So because I think what I was kind of extrapolating, you know, the year before where he played 75 games and he hit seven homers and he stole 14 bases. And I was like, if he could get to, you know, 15 and 30, that'd be pretty cool.
Who do you
and
think,
he hit 20 and 39.
Who do you think has a higher ADP, Puig or Pollock?
Definitely Pollock by a lot.
Puig.
No way. In what? NFBC?
NFBC. I'm looking right now. NFBC.
Puig has a higher one?
Puig is going 110. AJ Pollock is going 122.
Well, let me ask you something. Just in general, would you take the seven hitter for the Reds or the leadoff hitter for the Dodgers?
Well, leadoff hitter for the Dodgers.
Well, there you go.
But I'm huge on the Puig return this year. I love him in Cincinnati. But see, like, I like both of these guys.
But I mean, Puig is slated to start the year hitting seven. Maybe with a great streak, he could get up to five. But he's not hitting ahead of Peraza, Scooter Gennett, Votto, or Suarez. He's not hitting ahead of those guys.
Is that where roster resource? Because I feel like he'd be perfect five.
Well, they've got Kemp at five with Schebler at six.
Kemp isn't even set to be a starter.
Kemp is set to be a starter right now.
Mm. I see. I'm looking right now. He's at five. Oh, no, that's Kemp. That is Kemp. You're right. I was thinking. Yeah, Puig is seven. Yeah, you're right. Seven.
Yeah, seven. So I'm not saying that that's going to stick, but okay, there you go. Five-hole hitter for the Reds or one-hole hitter for the Dodgers. I'm still taking the one-hole hitter for the Dodgers, regardless of name at this point. You know?
I don't know, but because in that scenario,
I want to look at Fantasy.
I have Gennett, Votto, and Suarez in front of Puig.
Scooter Gennett. Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, Scooter Gennett. That's what I said.
Okay, I'm so ready to pounce when you screw it up because you have screwed me up on it now.
Gennett.
Yes. Oh God, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, Scooter Gennett and Joey Votto and Eugenio Suarez all hitting in front of Puig. I think it's a huge RBI opportunity. I think Puig could be in line for 100 RBIs.
If Puig was hitting five, I would take Puig because I think there's a better chance of him staying healthy.
Okay, but that's what you just asked me.
I think in general, I want someone who's going to steal some bases and score a ton of runs with a decent average and Pollock up at the top of the lineup. But if I knew both those guys were playing 155 with Puig at five and Pollock at one, I would take Pollock. But Pollock is guaranteed for maybe 100 games.
I legit don't even remember who our AJ Pollock debate is in the book. Is it Puig?
No, it's not.
Okay, good. Because I'm asking you, take out the ifs and buts here.
And Candy's nuts.
Yasiel Puig at 110 or AJ Pollock at 122. No, if this happens or that happens, which one?
Pollock.
You're taking the discount on Pollock.
I don't want either one of them. I would easily take Pollock in that debate.
But you don't think Pollock at 120 is a huge freaking deal right now with the homer, stolen base potential, and leadoff hitting for the Dodgers? I think it is a huge deal. And I think right now you're seeing NFBC.
Well, he's
going to
go up, though.
Yeah, he's going to skyrocket up. I think his average, it's weird, his average is around 117. I think he's going to push top 100 come March.
Right. And I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you take AJ Pollock in the top 100. I like the spot. I think it's a good landing spot. And to be honest, I like that this happened for the fact that it's going to push him up and I can get someone else.
I wanted to push Puig down. That's somebody that I want this year, but I hate he's been going. I know he's 110.
You want me to say who our debate is on the air here? Or you want me to say that they got to buy it?
What, that the Pollock one?
The Pollock one, because I'm looking at it.
No, you can say it. I mean, but don't give any information away. But yeah, you can say what
Tommy
the
fan.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. That's a really good one. All right. I wonder what we said. I don't remember what I said about it. I'm interested to see Tommy Pham versus AJ Pollock. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in on it. But see, I hope he pushes even more because I want Yasiel Puig to move back a little bit because people are jumping up because something I can tell you right now, outfield gets gross.
He was a deal, but he's just not a deal.
But outfield has been getting gross when you wait too long into drafts around 100.
By the way. Real quick, on Fantrax, AJ Pollock is ADP 88.63, and Yasiel Puig is 121.
On Fantrax?
On Fantrax. 121.19 wow. For Puig and 88.63 for Pollock.
It's just, I mean, it's a no-brainer Puig there. On that,
yeah, 100%.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't
I'm
like
not
that.
Thinking, like, here's like the guys that Pollock's going around. Will Myers, I would much rather have Myers, even though he was banged up last year. Scooter Jeanette, David Price, Justin Upton is going behind AJ Pollock.
Upcoming mock draft, we
all day.
Well, you and I have, well, that's, I mean, you want to get into it. Our mock draft that's coming up on Monday, we have an AJ Pollock, Justin Upton kind of issue in there. But, like, I think Pollock, he serves a trend. If you're looking for power and stolen base, if you're looking for that combination, if you're willing to gamble,
I think
that's where the worth is.
You're wishing for it with Pollock.
Yeah, but it's not unreasonable. You're literally like, yeah, this guy is injury prone. He constantly gets injured. That's my gamble. It's not, this isn't Alberto Mondesi, where he had a half a good season and we're like, all right, let's go. That's more of a gamble than AJ Pollock is a gamble.
Yeah, especially since he's gone higher.
Yeah, but also from a performance standpoint, because Pollock has done it before. He just can't stay on the damn field. All right, one more segment coming up. Don't go anywhere because we're talking Manny Machado, a new destination in this league.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the league.
In the dark.
At the game, just got a gut feeling? No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile betting platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to mybookie.ag. Open an account with a promo code FNTSY and MyBookie is going to match your deposit up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY.
That leads me to a severely long story.
Thousands of years ago. Isn't Aqua Teen off the air?
I have no idea.
I think they canceled it. I think it's done.
There are some episodes of that show where it was like, this is so funny. And then other episodes where I was like, I guess I would just have to get high to understand this.
It was implied. I mean, if you're going to sit there and watch, like, what's that show that, who's the, who's Will Ferrell's life partner?
John C. Reilly.
The show that John C. Reilly is like some of those. Andre.
Oh yeah.
The what's his name? The Andre guy.
Right. Yeah. Nope.
I mean, it's just chaos. That's all it is. It's absolute chaos that you're supposed to be on something that Joe Rogan talks about on his podcast.
Yeah, MDMA.
Yeah, that's all that you're supposed to be on.
You, I saw Rogan before, and it was his last show of the weekend. It was like a Sunday night show. And he's like, you know what? I got 3 hours before my flight. Let's kill another hour here. He's like, you guys just want to hang out. I will not mind if you guys leave. I won't think it's rude at all. But I'm just going to hang out here and chit chat with you guys. So, you know, just throw out a comment and I'll talk throw out a subject and I'll talk about it. And
was
so
this like before he ever did his podcast?
I think it was. It might have been. I don't remember. To be honest, it was a long time ago. So I remember Ari Shaffir opened for him. It was the first time I saw Ari Shaffir, but some dude was talking about MDMA and they just had like a conversation between each other for like 20 minutes. So
that doesn't sound entertaining.
It was because someone was like, you know, someone was like, two girls, one cup. And he talked about that. And it was, I can't repeat it here, but it was very fun.
Well, I mean, that sounds that sounds more interesting than MDMA.
Well, I mean, he was talking about all the things that he would see.
Let me tell you. Okay, here's a short preview of every conversation anyone's ever had about MDMA. It's going to open up your mind. You're never going to be the same. Everybody should do it. I don't understand why they don't legalize it in a safe manner. It will change your entire life. Like that's
you can read dogs after you've done MDMA.
You can read dogs.
Right.
Like an audio read dog with your ears?
No, like someone might ask you when you're a young man to come over and ask the dog what's wrong with it.
This is a me thing. All right, so like when I was asked to go and read... Yeah, okay, now I gotcha. Yeah, yeah. I wish I was on MDMA. Maybe everything would have been different for me. Maybe it was. Maybe that's why I'm in the spot that I'm in, and we sit and talk for 10 minutes about, you know, pepperoni nipples and all that stuff. That's ultimately our problem. That's our problem at the end of
the day. So anyway, Manny Machado.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I don't think we are special little beings here because other people, I think, collectively, it seemed like there was a collective thought process that happened at the same time. But this was a couple weeks ago, I think, on this show where there's random mystery team stuff. You and I were going through the process of, you know, what everyone does every week. Where's Manny Machado going to go? And you and I both came to the same conclusion that we felt one of the perfect teams to jump in was the San Diego Padres. And Roto World on Friday busts out with a report, sure enough, that the San Diego Padres are in on Manny Machado. Now, the one interesting thing they say in this article is that they weren't the, and this is, by the way, Kevin Acey of San Diego Union Tribune talks about it, that they weren't the mystery team. But when those rumors came out about the lowered price tag, like you remember, like the $175 million or whatever,
right,
that the Padres then kind of inserted themselves into the conversation and that they are talking with Manny Machado's people. So now we're in a spot where the White Sox are out there, the Phillies have been out there, the Yankees, and then now the Padres are out there. And that's a very, very interesting thing to look when you've got Fernando Tatis and you've got Luis Urias. But do they have the money to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to have the money to do it. They're not spending that much money. And this, either one of these guys, because I've heard that they're kicking the tires on both Harper and Machado.
But like they have to be the highest bidder, I think, in this scenario to get Manny Machado, because what they have to do is
they got to be the biggest by a lot.
They've got to sell him to say, hey, listen, we got Hosmer here. We've got incredibly young and upcoming talent. Plus, we have assets. You have to trust the process that we are going to move these assets to get major league talent to win sooner rather than later. He has to believe in that process, and the other teams don't quite have to sell him on that. Maybe the White Sox a little bit.
I think that to be honest, I don't know how much selling has to go on, but I think if the difference is slight between a team that is or seems to be willing to win now or able to win now, like Philly versus San Diego, I think I think Bryce Harper cares enough about winning to take a smaller deal to win. I don't think Manny Machado does. So I think if there's a difference of, you know, a year or, you know, $1 million annually, he'll go for the winning team. But I think if you crank that up to $3 million annually or whatever it might be, a longer deal for $15 million, he's definitely going to go with the team that offers him the most money. So I think if San Diego wants to win this, they definitely have to be the highest bidder by a decent amount.
Okay, so now that it's out there, though, like, I mean, I still hold that these two are going to be signed before spring training starts. I've wholeheartedly and heartedly believe that they will both be signed. The market seems to
what's
be moving.
What's the date?
It's the 26th.
What's the date?
Oh, you think that?
I know it's the 26th today. Okay. What I'm asking is, what is the date that you'll be surprised if they're not signed by? Is it just spring training? Because I think I would be surprised if they're not signed by like February 20th. I'd be like, what the hell? Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm talking.
I mean, people are already at that point now.
Well, what day does spring training start? Like February 26th or something?
Yeah, I think it starts. Yeah, it's usually late February.
I would say I would be surprised February 10th. Because February that's 10th. A little bit less so than a week before.
A week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, honestly, I think like the 4th, 5th, right after Super Bowl is the perfect time. But anything after like the 10th, I'm going to start being surprised because I think they want to get in a week or so before people start showing up. You know what I mean? And showing up to camp, catchers and pitchers are going to start reporting and stuff like that. I think they want him in. I think both players need to be in before teams get into full reporting mode just for a rapport standpoint. And you just can't have this much out in the market. And the market's starting to move a little bit. You know what I mean? Like Pollock coming off is important. The JT Romuto is starting to pick up. I feel like there's a collective. And to me, maybe, you know, you look like a stock thing or something, but it's like, I think there might be a sign that the market is starting to move. More relief pitchers are coming off. Some pitchers are signing deals. Pollock is signing. I think this could be a precursor to these happening, maybe even this coming week, that maybe everybody knows what's going on and you know, people there's less decisive decisions that people need to make because it's like, well, this is going to happen this week. We know we're completely out. There's no shot to get back in. So people are just going at it and they're getting their guys.
What's the earliest you think that this can happen? What's the absolute, do you think like this weekend, like, or I mean this upcoming weekend, next weekend, Super Bowl weekend, these guys have it done?
I mean the earliest, I mean, I would say tomorrow at the earliest.
But really?
Like, well, no, but I'm just saying like, I think it could happen at any time.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I don't know, man.
I think Friday. I'm going to say Friday before the Super Bowl or Monday after the Super Bowl. I think those are prime spots for these to go down.
So we keep doing this every week.
I know.
And I feel like mine changes for Machado every week. But I'm going to stick with the Nationals and Bryce Harper.
All right.
I think I'm sticking there.
Because Dodgers are out. You have to assume Dodgers are out now.
Dodgers are out, yeah. 100%.
And they've been,
and they can't be the mystery team anymore. I think the mystery team was San Diego, right? We were right.
I think
because someone said that San Diego was the highest bidder for Machado right now.
Yeah, because that price. I think San Diego may have thought that this price was in the 250 to 300. If you've really got the Yankees, White Sox, and Phillies that are maybe sub 200 or right at 200, Padres may have come in and said, "We'll give you 225." You know, so they may be in it right for more than 10. Or here's another side factor. They may just be the team that's willing to go an extra year. It may not, you know, it's the overall money.
More just the overall.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like from a yearly basis, I wouldn't even be surprised if it's a little bit less, but it could be one extra year or maybe that they would concede in some type of a like, you know, you can have a buyout after 3 years or something like that.
Right. A poison pill.
Yeah. Or just anything, you know, just a player option, you know, for your third year or the team can buy you out after 3 years, which they should have done with Eric Hosmer. Boy, should they have done with Eric Hosmer.
Jesus, he's terrible.
It's a terrible contract that they did. Oh, Couldn't be worse. My God, I mean, I said that the Padres really make a lot of sense, and I think I'm not shocked one bit that they would make a splash. But for me, Machado, White Sox, and I actually am going to move to Harper with Philly now because I thought the Dodgers were that team that was, and also you had the Cubs openly come out and just like dismiss it. So I think Philly ends up getting Harper and Machado is a White Sox at the end of the day. You know, all his buddies are there. White Sox are probably closer than you would look at like with the Padres and all his friends are there. You know, I think it makes more sense with the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. And the White Sox are kind of like the AL version of the Padres anyway, right?
They're a team roughly
on the cusp. So.
But they don't have the same minor league.
No one has what San Diego has, though, right?
Well, Yankees. It's like Yankees. Yankees, Tampa Bay, and the Padres are probably at the very, those are probably the top three. I think the Reds are way more talented, the minor league system, than people give credit for. But I would say, yeah,
they Padres. Lost Long. They lost the tool shed.
They lost Jeter Downs, too. They traded him to the Dodgers. So they did deplete. But yeah, Yankees, Rays, and Padres are at the tippy top of talent right now in the minor league. So, you know.
And just for historical purposes, if you're looking for things down the road, hitting in San Diego, much tougher. So if you did have a poison pill in that contract in San Diego, but all your power numbers went down and maybe your batting average went down because you're playing 81 games in San Diego in that thick marine layer, then that's something to look at, too. So if it's close, but you can get out of this deal and perhaps get a bigger deal in 3 years, I think I would want to play for the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did that whole thing with all their buddies. You know, Deadspin's favorite player, John Jay, they signed his buddies with him, Yonder Alonso. You know, they've got Eloy coming, Yoan Moncada. They've got some good young pitching. A lot of it makes sense for him to go there. But like I said, San Diego has to sell him on the idea of, hey, you come here, you're going to be playing beside Urias and Tatis Jr. We have got and Hosmer, and we've got loads of talent to bring in other guys. I'll throw this out, Bugs. The Padres have jumped in as one of the teams that could be a favorite for JT Romuto. What if it's one of those situations where Machado's like, you bring in Romuto, you know, bring in another talent? What if they got Romuto and then they sign Machado? And that's one of those things that brings them in, like, hey, we're committed to winning. Look how we're going to do it. We're going to get one of the best catchers in baseball. We bring you in, and we have got an arsenal of arms that could get up soon, and we could move for other starters. Maybe they even come in and sign Dallas Keuchel, frankly.
Do you think that's super important to Manny, though? Because I feel like it isn't.
I think for San Diego,
he doesn't want to get stuck in Baltimore again. Like, he doesn't want to be in that situation where the whole team is terrible and he's just this super talented guy surrounded by all these guys that are terrible, and maybe losing the World Series is a little bit of fire underneath him. But I just don't know that he's that concerned about that.
I think with the Padres, he would be. That's it. Like, not the others.
But I think anyone watching knows that the Padres are close, right? I mean, they're not there.
They're not obviously that close, though. They don't have the talent. Like,
but if he signs an 8-year deal, by year four, they're gonna be doing some stuff.
But that's the
right?
hope in an organization that does things right. I think you have to be sold to go to San Diego, because he goes in there, there's not a player that is remotely close, talented, that's on the major league roster to Manny Machado. Right. He goes to the White Sox. I wouldn't say that that's true. They have Jose Abreu. They've got Yoan Moncada. They got Eloy coming up. I mean, I think it's not that far off, but it's a little bit closer. I think San Diego, you do have to be sold a little bit if he's going to sign that major long-term contract. I mean, San Diego, going to L.A., getting the West Coast, you're getting that whole thing. It's got to be incredible. But there's another factor that a lot of people are saying. If Machado is not getting the long-term deal that he ultimately wants, and he's going to sign somewhere with a 3-year buyout, maybe he goes to his favorite team, the Yankees. And if they're going to give him $30 million with a 3-year buyout, maybe he just does that.
Man. Yeah. Would make a lot of sense. Maybe. Yeah, it would make sense. I just, I just want this stuff to be solved. I feel this is the last segment of every show that we do every single week.
At one point, we're going to actually be revealing what happened, but it's the crappy thing about baseball. I mean, look at this, man. JT Romuto has been dragged out for 4 months, it feels like. Nicholas Castellanos, his agent came out and said, we want him to be traded before spring training.
I don't even know that he wants, like, everyone says, oh, Castellanos wants to be traded. I don't even know that he does. They were floating rumors.
His agent came out and said.
I understand, but I think what he said was, we would want a deal done before spring if a deal was going to be done.
Here's his quote. He wants to win and understands the direction of the franchise right now is to procure prospects. That being said, he would rather start with his new club going into spring training.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
He wants gone.
Yeah, I didn't see the quote.
Yeah, this is pretty new. This is like he wants out. And which, by the way, I just want to throw this out here. I feel like he's an Oakland A. Like, he's, you know, you look at players. There's only two teams that have ranked to me. It's like the Braves and the A's. And I don't think there's a spot really with the Braves anymore. But I have no idea where he's rumored to. But
would you like Jaron Dyson?
Oh, Jerod Dyson?
You're welcome.
How about this? Would you trade David Peralta for Castellanos?
I mean, I don't know why, like... Yes, I would, because I just don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, they would.
Dave Peralta's like 32.
I just wanted to get Peralta off the team for you.
Yeah, I would.
But all of these trades, they're all looming. All of this change is about to happen. I think it's all going to come at a quick point here. But there's just not. This is why teams can't make these ultimate decisions. You know what I mean? Like, because Castellanos is sitting out there, Romuto's out there. The market's got to move. It is going to shortly. That's why you follow us over at the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast and right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Gentlemen, we are out of here. Follow us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports. We're going to the Royal Rumble, so come have some fun with us. For Bogman, I'm the Welsh. Good night now.
Bye.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.